The founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr., was one of God's great warriors for the faith. The message you will hear now, recorded during Dr. Jones' earthly ministry, illustrates his firm conviction that whatever the Bible says is so.
My friends, this is the 29th message in a series of 52, which I am bringing you. And by the way, I've had a very wonderful time so far, trying to think through these things that I've talked about. And we try to be very simple and clear. It's strange about us preachers, you know. When we get to preach, we have to watch ourselves so we don't talk very profound. And you know, when it says when Jesus was here, the common people heard him gladly because he spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. You know, sometimes I think we cover up with a preacher's voice instead of uncovering with simplicity in our approach. Now, I want to talk to you today about what the Bible teaches about gifts and what it teaches about men as individuals that he gives to the cause of Jesus Christ. First, if you'll turn to Ephesians, and you ought to read Ephesians quite often, you'll find that when Jesus Christ ascended on high and led captivity captive, now that's very interesting. I hope sometime to bring a special message on that. He led captivity captive. I might stop in passing to say this. Now, nobody ever went direct to heaven till Jesus rose from the dead. Now, in the Old Testament dispensation, if a man died, he went to Sheol, Hades, or paradise. Now, Sheol, or Hades, had to do with where all the folks in the Old Testament went, good and bad. But paradise was a compartment of Sheol, or Hades. Jesus said, the thief's day shall I be in paradise. Now, paradise was a part of Sheol, a part of Hades, see. But when Jesus rose from the dead, he took all the people out of paradise home to heaven with him. Now then, ever since that happened, for a Christian, it's absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's no intermediate state of the dead now. There was in the Old Testament. Until Jesus rose from the dead, the saints who died went to paradise, which is a compartment of Sheol Hades. That's where the poor man went. And the rich man, you remember, went to the other compartment, place of suffering, crying out for a drop of water. But Lazarus was resting in Abraham's bosom, and he talked across the gulf, this terrible chasm. All right. Now then, when Jesus sent online, led captive to captive, he took all of the folks out of paradise who were waiting that glorious day up into the immediate presence of God. Now that's wonderful, isn't it? So if I die now, I go straight to the Lord. I don't have to go and stop for a generation or two. It's absent from the body, present with the Lord. All right. Now, Jesus led captivity captive, but he did something else. He gave gifts unto man. Now, if you are God's man or God's woman, if you're really a Christian, God has given you a gift of some kind, a gift to do what he would have you do. Now, God doesn't give everybody the same gift. Some things you can't do. Some things God doesn't want you to do. He wants you to let your light shine. That covers all of us Christians. There are certain things all Christians are supposed to do. But there are certain gifts that God gives some people, special gifts to equip them to do certain kind of work. Now, he gives some people a special gift of faith. I know some people that I'm ashamed sometimes of how little faith I have compared with them. Now, I have faith. He gives all people enough faith to be saved and enough faith to live right. But he gives some Christians a special faith. I guess they have to have it, and he knows it. And he needs that person to do a certain job. Well, he gives some other people a special genius of a certain type. All good and perfect gift comes from God. Some people say to me sometimes, I haven't any ability. You know what we tell our students in Bob Jones University? We tell our students in Bob Jones University that the greatest ability is dependability. Do you have that? Can God count on you? Can God depend on you? If he can, you have the greatest ability. Now, God wants all of us Christians to be dependable, but he gives gifts unto men, special gifts. Now, let's don't stop there. Let's think it through. Now, don't stop and be wondering what gifts you have. Just go on, do your duties, you see. And if you do your duty, you'll find the gift developing from time. Now, he gives some men more wisdom, I think. Everybody can have the wisdom to do what he ought to do. If we lack wisdom, we ask for it. I think that he gives some men a measure maybe of power he doesn't give other men. A special equipment or power to do a job. But if we're all Christians, we all have the Holy Spirit. And we all have the power to do what we are supposed to do. Now let's quit worrying about what other folks are doing. And let's say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And try to settle that with the Lord in an intelligent, sensible, practical Christian way. And if you're in the will of God, you can do the will of God. And God will give you power to do what he wants you to do. Now that's clear in the Bible. He gave gifts unto men. You have a gift. Maybe a little special gift you never dreamed, but you have. It came direct from God. Now remember, the devil doesn't give folks gifts. If you can sing well, God gave you the vocal cord. The devil didn't do it. Some people can't sing, you know, but they can do something else. Some people can maybe have better judgment than other people naturally, and maybe they have it supernaturally sometimes, or have greater discernment. But you have a special place into which God has put you. All right, now another step. When he sent on high and led captive to captive, he gave gifts unto men. And what else? He didn't just give gifts to men. And then he did something else. He gave some prophets, some apostles, some evangelists, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints unto do the work of the ministry. Now, I don't want to be technical, but I want you to listen closely. Somebody said to me one time, a man is a great evangelist. I said, how do you know? Well, he said, he leads a great many people to Christ. Well, I said, the best soul winner I ever knew in my life was an evangelist. I knew a man that could win souls to Christ. Every Christian's supposed to be a soul winner. Every Christian's supposed to be a witness. Every Christian's supposed to stand up and testify to the saving grace of God. Every Christian. Yeah. You know, Dwight L. Moody really was a layman. He went out just as a layman. Why, the greatest soul winners I've ever known in my life were humble people that just kept on keeping on. They were seemed to be geniuses in that line. All right, this person said that evangelist wins many souls. Well, I said, did it ever occur to you that a man might win souls and not be a good evangelist? Why, I said, no. I thought that's what an evangelist was supposed to do. Every Christian is supposed to be a soul winner. But the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher are given to the saints. You are to judge an evangelist by what he does for the people of God, not how many people he leads to Christ. If an evangelist leaves a Christian people confused, he's not good evangelism. He's not a good evangelist. He may be honest and sincere, and his intentions may be right, but he's not a good evangelist. He might be a good soul winner, not be a good evangelist. He might even be a good Bible teacher, not be a good evangelist. Now, Jesus Christ gave gifts unto men, and he gave gifted men unto the saints. Now, as an evangelist, I am given to the saints. What is a saint? Well, in a Bible sense, a saint's a man who has been saved. You're a saint. We talk about St. Paul, St. John. Every Christian's a saint. They're just two classes of people. They're saints and sinners. That's the only two classes we have. You're a saint or you're a sinner. You may not be as saintly a saint as you ought to be, but if you're not a saint, you won't go to heaven. Just two classes, the saints and the sinners. You were a sinner, one day you were saved, that second you became a saint, according to the Bible. So God gives gifts unto these people, and God gives men specially equipped to help the saints. Now you judge an evangelist and a pastor and a teacher, not by how many people they may win to Christ. You judge them by what they do for the people of God, to equip the people of God to do what they're supposed to do. Now, if you'll get that clear, it'll help you thinking along Bible lines. And that's perfectly plain in the Bible. Now, I've known practically all the great evangelists who've lived in Europe and America for over 50 years. I've known them well. I've known them intimately. And I know how they approach things. And I didn't see this when I was first starting evangelistic work. I said I ought to win souls, and I was right. As a Christian, I should be a soul winner. But if I'm a God-called evangelist, I'm supposed to go into the business of stimulating saints to do what they're supposed to do, and they're supposed to win so. Somebody said, did you give up evangelism when you founded Bob Jones University? No, sir. No, I didn't give up evangelism then. Well, wait a minute. The first night we opened Bob Jones University, we had, I don't know how many conversions. We didn't have a big school, but we had a good many people saved the first night. And did you know what we started in? We started in right at once to equip the young Christians that came to our school to do the work. Of course, if they came back unsaved, first thing we tried to do is get them saved. Because you can't be a Christian without Christ. And you can't be saved without salvation. And you have to be born again. And if a fellow comes to us, isn't saved, we try to explain it to him and get him converted. But when he gets converted, then we lay upon him his responsibility. And the greatest evangelistic work I've ever done in my life has been done through Bob Jones University. We've trained a big percentage of evangelists in America. We've trained a big percentage of pastors who are soul winners. We've trained many men who and women who are on the foreign mission field winning people to Christ. They've gone out from Bob Jones University to the world. All right? Now, we have Bible teaching in Bob Jones University. We bring in great inspirational Bible teachers. Every year, we have a Bible conference here running for a week and bring in great outstanding preachers, God blessed. And we bring in here great pastors of churches. A pastor is supposed to shepherd the sheep. A teacher is supposed to feed the sheep. An evangelist is supposed to stimulate the people to do what God wants them to do. You see so many churches where they believe you sometimes the Bible. They're orthodox. But, you know, I'm always glad if they're orthodox, because an orthodox church can always have a revival. A church can't have a revival that's not orthodox. You have to believe the Bible to have a revival. You've got to get folks converted to have a revival. Revival means that sinners are saved, but they're saved because God's people are revived to do the work to win them to Jesus Christ. That's the way the thing goes. So when Jesus Christ said, on high, led captivity captive, he gave gifts unto men. And something else he did, he gave certain men to these folks to whom he'd given gifts. He gave some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints under the work of the ministry. Now, I have a little thing that I have told our students on Bob University campus. I won't tell you this, because I want to make a permanent record of this statement. Now, sometime a man comes to me, and I'm supposing that I have an apple orchard, and the apple orchard is full of apples, and a fellow comes to me and says, I want to gather the apples. And I say, all right, I'm an expert at that, fine. I'll get them all in, good. All right, now, go ahead. And he goes out there, and I come back home, and after being away for a day, and the fence corners are full of apples, and all the bags and baskets are full of apples. He says, I told you I could do it. He said, I'm an apple gatherer. I said, yes, but wait a minute. You've ruined my orchard. You pull the limbs off these trees. There'll be no more apples here. Now, you were given not just to gather apples. You were given to take care of the orchard. And you should have gathered those apples in a way that you'd preserve the orchard. And an evangelist might even win souls to Christ and ruin the orchard while he's doing it. I've known that to happen in some cases, where you have what looked like a revival and never have another. So he gave some pastors, some evangelists, some prophets, some teachers to perfect the saints on the way to the ministry. Now, if we'd run a balanced Christian program, we'd be all right. But the trouble is, so many of us hit one note hard and skip a note we ought to hit, and we're not well-balanced Christians. May God help us to see it. Our Father, help us to be faithful and true to thee in all the things we do. And help us to do God's work, God's way. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Christian young people who have character and want to grow more of it, who have surrendered to God's will and want to prepare themselves to do it, are attracted to Bob Jones University. If you want that too, contact Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Ask for a free personal opportunity profile.
Listen next week at this time for another message from The Word of Truth, sponsored by Bob Jones University.